Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studio in Cumming, Georgia, it's time for Simon Says Let's Talk Business 2.0. Now, here's your host, Gary Zermelin.
And welcome. Welcome to Simon Says Let's Talk Business 2.0 radio show. And on this show, we talk with high-performing business professionals to sharpen our skills, learn new ideas and concepts, share best practices, and get to know some really smart people. Listen carefully, take notes, and look for their contact information at the end so that you can engage with them. And as always, we will conclude with a sales tip from me at the very end. Well, I am really excited about this show. It's going to be outstanding. We have a couple of guests here today. We have Eunicia Perret, and she's going to be here with us today. She's with Empowered Financial Planner. So, I mean, this is going to be really exciting. It's really, I don't know how best to explain it. It's almost like financial services on steroids, if you will. I mean, it's this powerful stuff. It's wealth optimization. And typically, it's only available to the ultra wealthy, but not necessarily to ditch them anymore. So that's what's going to be kind of fun. So we'll learn a little bit more about what she has to offer and probably give us some tips as well financially. So that's going to be great. And we also have Brian Brown. He's here with us with CertaPro, and he's going to be talking to us about painting. He's going to talk about our homes and our walls, something that we're surrounded by all the time and do require painting. And he's going to give us some tips on that. He's going to give us some advice on that. We're going to learn a little bit about them and how they go about it. We all got walls and houses, so that's going to be good to learn as well. And so I'm really excited about having both of you. But we're going to start off today with you, Eunicia. And I looked up that word the other day. I think it's a Greek word, means victory or something like that. And so that's exactly what you've been, has been victorious with the financial planning. So it's a fitting name for you and all that. I'll give a brief description of what you do and what your company does, and I'll let you kind of take it from there. But ladies and gentlemen, they help multi six to seven figure individual optimization, their wealth creation efforts by empowering them to leverage wealth creating strategies that go way beyond the 401ks, IRAs, and other typical savings accounts in order to minimize taxes. We all want to do that, and maximize growth and increase income in retirement. So there, you know, this customized on-hand financial consulting programs is what you're putting together. So this is kind of exciting. But before we go too much into it, gosh, what got you into becoming a financial planner like you are?
Well, Gary, thank you so much for having me here today. It's such a pleasure and honor. I know you and I talk often, but it's not often that we get to speak to the broader audience and people that truly could use some tips and tricks that can really turn around their wealth planning opportunities and really their financial houses. What got me into this is really the need to figure out what my own financial advisors and financial planners were not telling me. For years and years, my husband and I, we did well, very well financially. And what we found was that it didn't matter how many financial planners and financial advisors we spoke with. At the end of the day, the one thing that mattered most to them was assets under management, AUM, for individuals that might be more familiar with financial services. In the meantime, though, there were a lot of things that we enjoyed doing when it came to investing in non-traditional financial investments and financial vehicles. Think of real estate, think of looking at fractional business ownership and things like that. And so when I started working with individuals one-on-one, most of my career, by the way, has been spent or was spent in financial strategy consulting focused on the Fortune 500 companies. I had to make a major decision in my life as to whether or not I was going to continue on with my career working for somebody else. And I've always been very fortunate to work for some of the most amazing consulting companies in the world. But as we're thinking about the future, as we're thinking about what are we going to leave behind to our children, I realized that I cannot leave that legacy. They would have to basically start all over. And I like to think of myself as a pretty smart individual. So I thought, what a better place to start than with our own financials, figuring out why is it that, you know, I was now in my 30s and had no idea of which way was up. We had money, we had savings, we had investments, but everything was kind of everywhere. And so I dug my heels, started asking a lot of questions, and we take everything from a very, very much a problem-solving approach. And the question I had was, what are the pitfalls? What are the blind spots that the typical client does not get when they're working with just someone in the industry that will simply invest their money. And by doing so, what I realized was that we had a lot of blind spots that were not being addressed. And so we started putting the pieces together to say, okay, how do we address those concerns for the clients? How can we help them problem solve? Because if we do that, inherently, we're going to take more of the money that otherwise gets siphoned, and the clients get to keep more of it. And so that's kind of where we started, and it just kept growing from there.
Yeah, that's what's kind of interesting. I've worked with some other financial advisors in the past, and they can be very helpful as far as how to invest your money and where to put it and when to pull it out and the strategy for your life plan with it. But there's not a lot of them that talk to me a lot about what you also do, which is that minimizing of the taxes of it. So tell me a little bit about that.
Well, it's a very unique skill, and it's a very unique skill, not just because it's hard to grasp for most people. It doesn't sit within the financial advisory practice or arena. So when we started identifying those blind spots, of course, we focused on how, when, and where people invest their money. And what we found was that in terms of investing money, a lot of people, yes, they'll invest in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, et cetera, but they invest there because they don't know that they have options. Mm. And so we focused on what are the options that people need to be aware of. And what we found was that a lot of, especially individuals that are in the multi-six and seven-figure net incomes and earning revenue-generating businesses, they had no idea how to minimize their taxes. So for a business owner that is paying, 50% all in on taxes, it's a lot. It's a lot to deal with. And they go through that every single year over year. So what we found was that now we've got this problem of taxation that nobody talks about. Most CPAs, yes, they'll address things to the best of their abilities. But what we found is that there are companies that specialize in just tax planning and tax strategies. However, those tax strategies, oftentimes, they come kind of one-sided, right? They'll be, here's one strategy, here's another strategy. And for clients that, let alone, are having a hard time deciphering where and why I'm investing my money, now you're having to decipher through tax strategies. It's a lot. And because most CPAs don't really focus at that granular level of detail, keep in mind some of those strategies are really leveraged by the ultra, ultra wealthy. My philosophy is that you don't have to be sitting on $50 million or $100 million. You might be that business owner that's earning $1 million or $2 million or $500,000. Does that mean that your money's worth any less? Not at all. So when we're looking at those tax strategies, then the problem becomes, how do we bring them to bear in a way where we make sure that the CPA, the financial advisor, the broader financial team is actually working together? Because if not, some of those strategies can actually be counterintuitive and counteractive to each other.
Working against each other. Correct. It needs to be more integrated. Because I've noticed you used the word a number of times, we. So that sounds like it's not a one-man show here. It sounds like you got a team. So tell me a little bit about that.
So our team is made up of experts in the right fields. We do not propel ourselves as being all-knowing. What we do is we are the quarterbacks for our clients, making sure that not only do we have the right people at the table, the right experts, but that those efforts are coordinated. Because if they're not coordinated, we might as well just throw a bunch of people in the room, they'll do something, and next year everything falls apart. And so when I say we, and I'm talking about a lot of those experts, they might be attorneys, they might be CPAs that are focused on very unique things when it comes to the tax code, but by the way, they don't actually file taxes. So a lot of individuals will say, well, what do you mean it's a CPA that or CPA firm that doesn't file taxes? Well, guess what? That's their area of specialty. Mm. And so what we do is we speak with a lot of those businesses, and we've spoken with a lot of such expert firms to identify who are the people that we would trust. If I wouldn't trust someone with my own money, why is it that I would recommend them to anybody else? So there's a lot of vetting that goes on. There's a lot of trust that has to be built and that has been built over the years, because at the end of the day, people work hard for their money, and we want to make sure that it's not in any way, shape, or form put in jeopardy because we're working with a company that maybe is more of a fly-by-night kind of situation.
What are some things that, or immediate steps that someone should take? Let's say they're listening here today and they're going, you know what, I could use some help, and I don't want to be paying all that 50% in taxes and all. What are some things that they should be doing themselves or perhaps even with you?
Well, of course, they can always contact us, and we can be a resource for them to start helping them think through what may be next. But one of the big things that I tell clients is oftentimes we have those gut instincts. Like, I know that there's more. Am I paying too much in taxes? Well, the moment that question comes up, guess what? Chances are there's something behind it. So listen to those questions that come up in order to be able to take action. And when they do come up, don't stifle them. Don't put them down in the gutter thinking, oh, no, it's a stupid question. Of course I can't, because if I could, I would have heard about it. Mm-hmm. A lot of those things are not going to be, guess what, on social media. They're not going to be on Google. They're not even going to be on, all of the new chats and AI enabled solutions, because they're very unique and they're very strategic. And it's not the kind of stuff that the companies implementing them necessarily want everybody to be in the know, because people can mess things up really badly. And when they do, they mess it up for everybody else.
So let's say I messed up. I've not done business with you for a number of years and probably made a lot of mistakes. Maybe we've got some lost time. You know, time and money, they go together very well, or don't, depending on what you're doing with it. Gosh, is there anything you can do for me? Or is that like, well, we can start now?
Here's what I'll tell you. It's never too late until it is. Oftentimes, if individuals come to us and they're thinking, for example, about exiting a company, and they're saying, hey, I'm in the process, I'm already in discussions, we've got the letter of intent, at that point in time, there might still be some things that can be done. But oftentimes, what I tell clients is, we have a lot of companies, that family companies, family offices that we work with, that are thinking, hey, I might want to sell the business, retire in the next 5 to 7 years. What does my trajectory look like? Do I want to give it to my children? If I do, what does that look like? Do I want to potentially sell it? What does that look like? How do we maximize it? We have experts we work with specifically on those things. Because guess what? If you can get even a one-time more multiplier on that business, it could be huge. So now we're talking about money coming in, but that comes with taxes. A lot of the tax planning strategies also have to happen in advance, because we need to be starting to think about what is it that's going to be most applicable based on the amount of money that will be coming in, so that we can minimize taxes to the extent possible. Way too many individuals, for example, when exiting a business, end up paying capital gains simply because they don't know, or they didn't have the right team supporting them through that.
Yeah, there's a lot of things you probably have to do before you sell it, not after.
So that's
even in sales, I mean, it's, you guys, what you're doing before, you're not after, it's too late.
Well, that's a great example, Gary, right? With sales, so many, and I love the work that you do, because it really gets people to get their sales processes to the next level. What do you tell someone that maybe has been doing pretty well in sales, but could use that fine tuning and adjustment? That just maybe one or two couple of things that you can give them could make a world of difference. Is the same thing when we're talking
and
about
and preparation.
Yes.
It's preparation. So it's going in there. And that's what you guys are doing, really. It's like, okay, we're preparing you. What is it that you want to do in 5, 10 years? And there's some things we need to do now immediately. And there's other things we can wait 5. And I don't know. You know, I don't know all of that timeline of stuff. But you folks do, so you can help make sure that pretty much you're staying on track.
So true.
Needs to get done.
So true. It's really also asking the question of, what do we need the money to do for us? How do we want it taxed? And so going through a series of very, very strategic questions, that each one of them has their own demons that we need to work through and work with. And the beautiful thing is that once we know what those answers are, it becomes a lot clearer and a lot easier. It's almost like a lattice model.
Yeah.
And it's complex, but the beauty is in the complexity, because the complexity then gives us back the results that then enable the business owners and those successful individuals in their own right to be able to actually rest better at night, not fearing what's going to happen with my wealth or my business or my company or my revenue, et cetera.
No, I find kind of interesting when I'm talking with people, having meetings, I'm talking about their business and I'm asking, what type of revenue do you want to see? How many more appointments do you want to see? All those types of questions. They often don't know. They've never really thought about it. So this may be the first time we're really spending time discussing, where do we want to take the company? How much revenue do we want? Do we want the profitability to go up? How much? Do you find that happens as well when you're talking to them, that maybe you're bringing this up and it's the first time they even thought about it?
Not only does it happen, the thing that scares me the most is when I speak with very successful business owners that are thinking, hey, I'm going to retire in the next 5 years, 7 years, whatever that looks like. And when we talk about, well, what's your exit strategy? The response is, well, I'm going to close the company and I'm going to retire because of, maybe I've built enough wealth, or I just want to move away, or I want to live a different lifestyle. And when we ask the question of, well, have you considered selling the company? in many of their minds, that's not even a thing.
Never thought of it.
I mean, we're talking about individuals in the medical industry, individuals that actually own medical practices. We're talking about, these are real cases, by the way, we're talking about individuals that might own a very successful plumbing business with clients. I mean, we're talking about thousands of clients on the roster. Guess what? Those thousands of clients relied on that company for years and years. Do we think we could potentially transition it on to someone else that we know, like, and trust, and we know that they're going to take good care of those clients? There's a lot of value in that. Of course, it comes with a little bit of headache and planning and all of that, but there could be a lot of money that is otherwise truly left on the table for that business owner.
Yeah, so really, you're much more than just financial services. You're kind of almost giving them consulting on the business end of things in some respects as well.
We're truly wealth strategy consultants, and I'll be honest with you, I could not do what I do if it wasn't for the grueling years that I spent as a strategy consultant working for those Fortune 500 companies. They say that for a strategy consultant, their 1 year in strategy consultant is equivalent to about 5 to 6 years of being in any one given industry. So if you think about the fact that I was in that world for well over 12 years, I'm pretty darn old in dog years. So that's kind of my
I don't
my
see philosophy. Any gray hairs or anything,
well,
though.
So it's very strategic.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting. You kind of alluded to this too, and I think we talked about it before we came here, is that it's not always just about them and their money and their business and all that. It sometimes often involves the family. It could be the kids. It could be the nieces and nephews or whatever else. Is that something that you've seen, and how do you help with that?
It not only do we see, but what we see is that there's a lot of lack of communication because money is taboo, business is taboo. And for us, for my husband and I, it's a very unusual thing to run into families that don't have those conversations because our kids are very well versed in everything that deals with money, taxes. So it's hilarious to hear our kids talking about finances. But when it comes to clients, one of the things we really focus on is to make sure that we start enabling that communication. And what we have seen as a result of that is that children that are, you know, teens and maybe young adults are now starting to actually work on their financial platform. And there's nothing that makes me happier than to see a 19, a 20-year-old saying, you know what, I've learned from working, seeing my mom or my dad or my parents working with Unicia and the Empowered Financial Planner team, and how the kind of results that they're seeing for the parents. And those children, they work part-time jobs, but they take 10 to 15% of the money that comes in and they automatically put it into their own accounts that are suitable for them at that point in time. Because guess what? If they do that, by the time they're going to be late 20s and 30s, they're not going to have to think about starting. At that point, they're just building. And by the time they get to retirement, they actually get to call the shots. Do I want to retire early? And it's not just about being financially independent. It's about setting their own rules and not having to give up lifestyle when it comes to desiring to maybe not having to work for money anymore.
Yeah. I always love asking this question. I'm sure you got some story of some client. I know you can't mention names or anything, but that was really interesting or unique or just absolutely shocked you. Can you think of one?
That absolutely shocked me. Yes, actually, I can think of many, but one was, we're still working together. We've been working with this particular company for going on 4 years now. And the owner is exceptionally savvy in everything that he sees numbers like nobody's business. And so when we started working together, it almost took me like a little bit of a shock because he loves to control everything that's within the financial house. And working together, we were able to help him take his taxable income from 50% down to where he's somewhere between 17 to 20% on an annual basis.
Wow, that's a big drop.
Huge, on a year-by-year basis. The other thing, and this was kind of our entry point, we were able to come in and help him really clean house with what some of the other financial planners had done, where he had financial vehicles that were bloated with fees. And so just by doing that, we were able to help him generate millions of dollars in additional growth just by making a couple of small tweaks. So naturally, when we're looking every year at do we continue working together, there isn't really even a conversation. It's just like, he's like, just send me the invoice. We got it. You're not going anywhere.
Because I don't think about that either. You know, if you're doing something or if your financial advisor is doing something for you, I never think to ask, well, what are the fees on that? Not him necessarily or her, but it could be the fees of whatever it is being invested. And some of those fees can be, what, are they nominal or is it a percentage or is it, how does,
we're not talking, seen? When I say fees, I'm not just talking about, and a lot of people will say, well, how much does your team charge? Because I personally don't handle securities. We have specialists that handle that. That's what they do. That's what they love to do. And we thrive and we pride ourselves in bringing the best of the best to the table and for our clients. And so oftentimes people say, well, does your team charge 1%, 1.5%, half a point? What is it? They hear the word fees and they immediately start asking, well, how much money does the financial advisor make? It's not about that. Some of the financial vehicles have fees embedded in them.
That's what I'm thinking.
That the
yeah.
client doesn't know about. So even if they ask the fees, yes, they're going to get a 1%, maybe up to 2%, right? But what's hidden in the
belly? No one's ever talked to me about that. What's the other...
So one of the things that we actually do with our clients is we show them where it's possible. Here's what happens when, and here's how we throttle back the fees. Here are the give and takes, and here are the levers that we get to pull. And I'll tell you what, the lowest we've ever seen in terms of additional growth for a client by just doing that, this very small client, was somewhere in the neighborhood of $170,000. For most of our clients, because of the type of clients that we work with, that's hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars. And that can be huge for an individual. And that's just by looking at fees. Forget about taxes. Forget about optimizing where, how, and why money is invested. Exit strategies, increasing retirement income. All of those are ancillary and additional things on top of that.
Wow, this has been fantastic. It does look like you kind of get what you pay for,
You
and so if
do.
You get a professional, or in this case, a team of people working for you, looking for those types of things, looking out for you, for the business, for the family, what a great investment that is. And so I'm so glad that you could be on our show today and share some of this with us. But let's say they want to get hold of you. Let's say they say, hey, I think this is someone that needs to be helping me with my wealth and my investments. How should they get in contact with you?
Here's what I'd love to do. I'd love for our listeners to actually be able to take some of the stuff that we talked about and maybe assess where they may be, what some of their pitfalls may be. And so they can check us out on our website, which is www.empoweredfinancialplanner.com/pitfalls. That's empoweredfinancialplanner.com/pitfalls. Go there, check out the quick five pitfalls that you should be avoiding. And what you're probably going to see is that you have room for opportunity in at least one, if not more, of those. And if there are any questions, when you're reading through those, it's a very short, easy, quick read. You're probably going to have some questions that we can address. Just reach out and it'll be our pleasure to help address some of those questions.
I know they'll get great customer service from you and your group. So thank you so much for being on our show today. I'm sure your listeners got a lot from that. And now we're on to our second guest for today. And this is Brian Brown, and he's with Certa Pro Painters of Northeast Georgia. I'm going to mention that because there's a number of them out there. And give you a little bit of background on them and what the company is. Certa Pro Painters has been painting homes and businesses around Lake Lanier and in Northeast Georgia for over 15 years. Brian Brown purchased the business in 2018 and has actually quadrupled the business in 5 years through exceptional service and quality of work. So folks, if you can ever quadruple anything in money, that's fantastic. You're obviously doing something right. I may ask you some more questions about that later, because I know right now our listeners are going, hey, I would like to do that. I'd like to quadruple. What did he do? We'll learn a little bit about that today, which will be fun. But before we go much further, Brian, why don't you share a little bit about yourself and what got you into this world of painting residential and commercial homes?
All right. So I'm sure if there's some people that saw my resume up until 2018, they'd be, how do I end up as a painter? Doesn't really.
Okay.
I grew up on dairy farm in upstate New York. So to some degree, I was in a small business before I knew I was in business.
That's a business.
Because, parents running a dairy farm. convinced me that I did not want to do that. But I went to Lehigh University, chemical engineer, 25 years in specialty chemicals, different roles in manufacturing plants. And summer of 2017, I found myself looking for that next step. And I wasn't intending to be a franchise owner. My daughter was a junior at North Oconee, and I wasn't going to be making her move and mess up her last years of high school. So I started to do a 3-hour radius around the Athens area, which we were out in Bogart at the time. And one of the jobs I applied for was out in Rome, which somehow ended up getting on one of the franchise recruiters lists. And they asked me if I knew anything about CertaPro. At the time, I knew nothing. But they sold me on it. I mean, it is a opportunity to get involved in a business that's scalable. You are your own boss, obviously. You're running your own business. But then same token, obviously, at the end of the day, you've got every customer as a boss. So you traded one corporate boss.
Yeah, see, now you've got hundreds, maybe thousands of bosses.
Now. So, I mean, it's still possible to get fired one job at a time. It happens very rarely. But it's not that part of being in the corporate world where sometimes you don't know why someone has to go or not. But yeah, the opportunity to be in a scalable business that I didn't like the opportunity that they had there, but the business was for sale that I bought. I looked at and said, there's no reason I can't grow to be similar to some of the other CertaPros in the area and grow the business significantly.
Now, let's face it, though. I mean, you could have started your own painting business, you know, on your own and LLC'd it and done it. So what were some of the advantages to being part of this franchise? Why'd you make that decision?
Yeah, I mean, CertaPro, first, I mean, they are the largest painting company in North America, most referred painting company in North America. Solid reputation, just all of the tools in place to support someone that has never, to be honest, my wife doesn't let me paint.
I've been fired from that a couple times myself.
No, I'm that bad husband that if there's a job I don't like, I'm probably going to do a very poor job at it and I'll never be asked to do it again.
Maybe that was on by choice.
I don't do laundry and I don't paint around the house. But, you know, one pink sweater that wasn't supposed to be pink later, I don't do laundry. So,
I've done that too.
I'm sure it was accidental. Yeah. But, but I don't have the patience to do a great job painting. But my guys do. And that's why they do the painting and I do the rest. But they've got all the tools in place. I mean, there's 370 franchise owners. They always, there's 12 of us in the Atlanta area. We, I'm sure you've heard our commercials on either the river or the fish or seen us in the morning I think it's on Fox. We're maybe advertising right now. So that power of working together for the media presence is huge. They have what we call flight groups where I partner with about four or five other franchise owners around the country that we bounce ideas off each other and hold each other accountable to, hey, if you said you're going to do this, why haven't you done it? Just a great resource to help each other sort through running a business that you had never done before. Because I mean, most franchise owners for CertaPro were not previously painters. But it's not rocket science. You can learn the paint business relatively quickly. But that support of the large organization is huge.
Yeah. I had to be honest with you. I had CertaPro come to my house. And I mean, I was impressed. I mean, the car comes up, it's completely wrapped. They're professional. They got these really fancy iPads. You know, they can take all the notes down and all that. And they just seem to have all these cool tools. I was like, I didn't know they even made that. We can talk more about that too, but like colorization, I mean, making sure that you're getting the right color, you know, on the wall. I mean, they got this stuff that they can do that with. I have to do my porch because I just finished it. But I've been told you have to wait until it's dry enough. You just don't paint it right after. And most people told, well, just wait 3 months. Another person told me 6 months, you know, but with CertaPro, he's like, we got a tool for that.
Yeah.
You know, I said, you should be your moniker. You got a tool for that. And so I think that's kind of cool.
And sometimes I mean, there's simple things like that out there that if you were to find the guy wandering your neighborhood in his beat up van, getting passed from neighbor to neighbor until he screws up bad enough where he stops getting passed around. That guy was taught to paint by his dad, who was taught to paint by his dad, and they've been doing things exactly the same way forever. There's not a lot of, innovation or support that they get. Because when you are Sherwin's biggest customer, We get special treatment from Sherwin, whether it's pricing or just the, hey, you should, we saw this new tool we think you should look at. So we get the special treatment because we are so big as a painting company overall.
Yeah, let's talk about paint for a minute, because that was one of the things that I noticed the other day. I just had our bathroom renovated, remodeled, and above the shower, I noticed that the paint was blistering. Now, it wasn't from heat or anything, but it was blistering. Yeah. And I guess I could only guess it's from the humidity that comes up from the shower or whatever it is. And I was like, why is that happening? I've not seen that in other cases. So, I mean, I'm guessing not all paint is treated equal. So tell me a little bit about what was going on there and what would you do in a situation like that?
Well, I mean, you could have several things going on. I mean, it can start with whether the walls were prepared properly. Any surface you're painting, inside or out, you need clean, dry, and dull. If you're not doing those things, then the paint's not likely to stick. Paint's paint, and people think of paint as, you know, just color. But it's almost like glue with pigment in it. If it doesn't stick to your walls, it's going to come off. So in a bathroom in particular, you're dealing with moisture. And you can have everything from where the paint can peel to other issues. Like you take, if you've got the, I'll say a teenager, who thinks that you wash your hands and you don't bother splashing some of it off into the sink before you just go grab the towel. And you got this wall that looks like things are dripping down it because...
I'm embarrassed. You may have just described me. I've done that.
Well, you're not a teenager anymore.
But, I know. My wife doesn't think that, though.
But if there are paints that are better for handling that than others. And if you just said, well, I like... you know, the common color that everyone seems to like the last 5-6 years, this is agreeable gray. And you bought your gallon of agreeable gray and did it yourself, and you painted every room in the house with that, and you didn't do it different in the bathroom, and you just use, say, Sherwin Super Paint for that. It's not built to handle the moisture when someone starts splashing it, and you get what they call surfactant leaching. Because that's what happens when the paint is like has permanent like discoloration and drips in it from the water getting on it.
That's the chemical engineer coming out of you right there. Yeah. There's a word I wouldn't even want to try saying. Yeah.
But you know, if you had used their Duration or their Emerald, it could handle that all day long. And that's just making sure you're putting the right paint on the right surface. And that's the sort of thing when, you know, when before I bought the company, one of the things they suggested do is go get a paint estimate and understand what consumers are seeing in terms of frustrations and why they would choose someone like you. And you get these first, something like about, you know, I didn't believe the numbers until I saw them. Something like, this probably applies for more than painting, and most homeowners would see this at some point. You call a contractor, not just a painting contractor, but you call a contractor for an estimate appointment. And they're either like the, you know, the fabled cable guy that holds you hostage between 12 and 5 and maybe they'll come.
Yeah, that's a problem.
And the problem is that the maybe is a lot of times they don't. And you took time off or whatever else and you're waiting for them to come. And no, never mind, they didn't come. So something like 30, 50, some ridiculous percentage, they don't even come.
Oh, yeah, it's very high. In fact, they don't come for that, or they don't even come for the job itself.
Yep. And then at the other end, let's say they did show up. And what I saw in the couple that I did, I mean, one guy came in. He was clearly the guy that's also doing the painting. He had his painter whites that he looked like he had just left a job that I was probably seeing a little bit more than I should have, where they weren't completely. He needed a belt.
that's nicely put.
And he reeked of cigarette smoke. I mean, I did not want to be around this guy, but he had to come into my home. And that's sort of the whole, and if someone's coming into your home, this isn't a drive-by look and hope things go well. They're coming into your home. They're going to be in your space for a while. So you got to know, like, and trust them for real, because they're going to be in your space. But he looked at it. He was very busy. So his price came in, like, priced as someone that's like, well, if I get this job, it'll be worth it, sort of number.
Yeah, their numbers can change, can't they, depending
And then the other guy came in. And not saying you can't be learning from your dad, but it was clearly like the kid in the family business where his dad was like over his shoulder, just making sure he didn't screw up too badly. And he took his notes on literally the back of an envelope. And it took 3 or 4 days later before he finally sent something to me that basically was, we will paint your house, zero details, for X amount of money. And you're like, okay, what am I getting? And you said you got a quote from us recently. There's not a lot of surprises that can happen.
It covers everything.
Detailed from end to there. And that gets back to, like, you know, how did CertaPro come up with a name? It's trying to be that brand of certainty, because whether you're talking about painting or almost any other contractor coming in, they gave you a quote, you don't know what you're going to get. They're so vague, and there's loopholes built into it where it's like, well, didn't say we were going to paint that. Well, again, there's always that challenge. And this is a challenge for homeowners as well. Well, if you're going by that rule, it says I need to have get three bids before I do something. Some people take that to extremes and they get 10. But I mean, if you've ever done that, how do you keep track of what you've told each person? Because literally they come in and they see something new and they say, well, did you think about that? Maybe you want to change the color here. And all of a sudden you're like trying to compare apples to oranges because you did those bids, but they're different. So yeah,
we call it in the business world scope creep. You know, they give you an estimate, and then as they're halfway through and you're already invested, I mean, you're not going to change now. Oh, by the way, we got some pops, you know, some nails. Oh, this also, you know, needs to be spackled.
And sometimes that's part of the role of being expert.
And you say, okay, you know, and then so that, you ask them. Next thing you know, you're looking at this thing. It's like, it's a lot of money.
Yep.
And that can be a problem.
But, I mean, it makes sense. I mean, if you're there and you see something, it makes sense for you to show and make sure the homeowner's aware. And they just haven't thought about it. And sometimes that scope creep maybe isn't a necessary scope creep, because let's say they've asked someone to come in and they want to paint a door. No one is going to paint that door for a number that makes sense, because it's a small job, and typically painters are getting paid by the day.
He's going to charge you with the costume for the day, not the door.
Exactly. Yeah. So at that point, it's like, hey, we've got minimums. What are you going to do to make it make sense? You can get this whole room painted for that amount. Well, that sounds better.
Yeah.
But you do run into that where people just, you know, haven't noticed something. You got the other end of that where, like, when we look at the exterior of a house, so many of these beautiful houses around here, I don't know if it's that they let someone else do the landscaping and they don't go out and look very often, but you frequently find a lot of rotten wood.
Yeah. Well, this is the South.
Yeah. But I mean, it's one of those things that can make it difficult for the homeowner to compare quotes, because as I'm going around, I'm going to call out what I see.
The boards that might need to be replaced, right?
And we're going to give you an itemized price that says, listen, it's going to cost $100 to change that board. And let's say it's like three stories up and we're like, I'm pretty sure that's rotten, but I'm not 20 foot tall and I can't tell for sure. So it's itemized. And I would typically say to the customer, listen, if the painters get up there and find out it's fine, we'll take it off. So it's more like, you know, what's there, and maybe it goes the other way. They can still get areas that we can't see. You get the backside of a chimney or something like that.
There's always going to be a few exceptions.
There's always a chance for rot because you haven't put the pressure washer on it yet. And you're still, like I said, not 20 feet tall. So there are opportunities frequently for change orders that are going to happen because we cannot paint rot. Well, that's going to happen regardless of what contractor gives you your bid, unless they're going to paint over rot, which you don't want. But it also makes it so contractor A give you a number and the other one was $500 more. They don't have the same boards listed. How, you know, trying to keep that straight for typical customer of which ones they actually give them the better value, that makes things difficult.
It makes it difficult.
Because their story changed from one visit to the next. You know, all of a sudden you don't even realize the customer scope creep as well. It's like, well, what about this hall bath? Can you add that? And now you've got a room that it wasn't one quote, and now it's in the other. And you
apples
can't,
to oranges.
And you can't keep track in your head as the customer. We frequently get, well, I know I spoke about this with your guy. It's like, he doesn't remember it.
Yeah, it wasn't you my spoke guy.
With,
it was
you
was
spoke
the
with
other
five
guy.
Guys. Yeah, so yeah, which one did you really say
they're
it
not
to?
They're not going to remember. They're not going to remember. And some of these guys, they may do some work and they could fall off the ladder. There could be something, they could break something in the house. I mean, it can happen.
Yep.
So what is that all about? I mean, are they all bonded out there? Or are they all insured?
No, I mean, some of maybe you get one of your insurance friends to explain this one to me. And I don't understand the why, but the reality is if someone is in your home working and they fall and get hurt or get cut or whatever it could be that they're hurt, if they're not carrying workers' comp, somehow it goes back to the homeowner. I don't understand that, but it is the way it works in the insurance world.
So
it's very important that you make sure that the contractors you're working with, not just painters, all of them, have active insurance, that they are carrying full workers' comp and full liability.
What's your problem?
Well, and the other part, don't go just by that piece of paper. They can all print a piece of paper that says a certificate of insurance, and they can also cancel it the next day.
Wow.
So on those certificate of insurance, it does have a number to call where you can verify that they're still carrying the policy, and you can ask to be additionally insured for most painters as well, most contractors as well.
That's so another reason to go with you guys.
You get notified. Yeah,
absolutely. CertaPro is going to make sure everyone is up to snuff on all of that every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as a franchise, that's one of those things that CertaPro makes us keep our insurance registered with them, because
they're watching.
They're sort of like that next level up. When someone does work with us, I mean, it's like, you know, our painters frequently have their own insurance. We've got our insurance. And then if for some reason, you know, those fell through.
Lawyers are taught to go and sue where the money is.
Yep.
So it's going to be whoever's the biggest. Yep. And that's them. So that's good, though. That keeps you covered as well. Great stuff. I really enjoy great tips for all of us as well. It's been awesome having you on the show. I think our guests are going to see why. Oh, I can see why I want to work with CertaPro and work with a pro. And I like that, because the CERTA stands for that certainty. And I think that's it. When we do business with anyone, we want to have that certainty that it's going to be done. It's going to be done right. That they're going to show up. They're going to show up on time. And I can, at least from my own experience, all of that has happened with you guys. And it is a classy operation that you run. Now, let's say they say, hey, I want to get a hold of Brian. How would they get a hold of you? What would be the best way?
Well, simple thing is CertaPro.com. Our challenge always is people don't always hear CertaPro. You've got ServPro, which sounds sort of similar, but CERTAPRO.com. And you know, if your listeners aren't in my residential service area, then they'll get another CertaPro that can take great care of them. So it doesn't really matter. I mean, I'd love it if they did work for me, if I could do the work for them. Mm-hmm. But they're going to get a great CertaPro franchise. I know all 12 of the owners in the area, they're all great. They'll get great service. The other number is 770-554-9275. And you can get our call center and they'll set you up with a free estimate.
Hey, I love it. I love it. Thank you so much for being on our
show.
You're
welcome. It was great.
It's been awesome having both of you with us all today. All right. So now we're at the point where we do the sales tip 1, 2, 3 with Gary Z, where we have one of our radio listeners write in a sales question or a challenge they're facing, and I give them some tips on how to overcome that challenge. And so we got one here today. This one was emailed in from Jamie. And Jamie asked this. She says, Dear Gary, I have a trade show coming up soon. What are some tips that you can give me for that? Well, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to post-COVID. So this is kind of exciting. For the longest time, there wasn't a lot of trade shows going on. There wasn't a lot of conferences going on. And so we're doing these now again, and we're often a little bit rusty at doing them. But I do have some tips, and I think this is the biggest one, is I think people have the wrong objective when they're going to a trade show. What I mean by that is this, is that they're kind of, what I've noticed is collecting business cards. And I used to see with my colleagues, oh, look, I got more than you. Look at this, almost like a contest. Who can get the most business cards? No, folks, that's not the goal that we want to be doing here. And by the way, all the other booths, all the other places, they're doing the same thing. They're holding a big stack of business cards. And you know what everybody's going to be doing that following Monday through the next couple of weeks? They're going to be calling and emailing, and they're going to be going on LinkedIn, and these people are going to be barraged with everybody else. And so they're going to do what most do, delete, 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 delete. Oh my goodness, I feel like I'm being attacked is what they're going to be saying. So this is a problem, and you don't want to get caught up in that. So keep in mind what your goal here, especially if you're selling a service that is going to be more than one meeting, or it's going to take more than 1 month or whatever. You're not going to be selling the deal right then. You're just not. So don't even try. Just try to get the appointment. That's the goal here. Get the appointment. And here's the beauty with modern technology. You got something that they got in your hand right there in front of you, and that's your calendar. So use it. You know, so if there's some interest and you're noticing that there's, you know, some pain and maybe you got a solution for the problem, don't do any of this. Oh, yeah, I'll call you next week. Or, yeah, I'll call you for an appointment. Nah, it's not going to happen. Just say, well, that's fantastic. why don't we do this? Why don't we both pull up our calendars and find a day and time that works for both of us? And then you'll be able to get the appointment. You're going to get it before anybody else does. And you're going to be on their dance card, if you will. And the other people will have no chance to be able to compete with you. Now, it's true. They may say, well, I don't want to do that right now. Well, if that's the case, they probably weren't that interested to begin with, which is all right. So it's also a vetting process as well to see if they really are interest in you, so you can just focus on the people that matter, because time is important. That's what we want to be doing. So that's just one tip, Jamie. Got a lot of others. I think we have over a 90-minute presentation just on that one alone, but I think that one's a good one for you today. Jamie, thank you so much for writing in. Good selling to you. Well, thank you for all tuning in today to Let's Talk Business 2.0. I am your host, Gary Zermelin, and until next time, good selling.